Sorry. Call to order the October 17th meeting of the Kirkland Design Review Board, and we will begin with roll call.
Carolyn Adams.
Here.
Tim Olson.
Here.
Nolan Morgan.
Here.
Brad Brown.
Here.
Scott Risser.
Here.
Dave Russell.
Here.
Susan Bush.
Okay, we have no minutes to read and or approve tonight, so I will announce the agenda. Single item is the Conceptual Design Conference for 1029 Office on Market Street, and that is it. Before we begin that, I would just caution or remind everybody to turn off or silence your cell phones. Shouldn't be a problem. And if there are any requests from the audience on any items not related to tonight's agenda item, now is the time to speak. I assume there's none, so we will go ahead and proceed directly with the Conceptual Design Conference. And Janice, you want to go ahead and take
Actually, before we begin, I feel like I should mention that I'm currently employed by Freiheit and Ho Architects. They're the designer of record for this project, and I should most likely be appropriate to recuse myself from the meeting tonight, unless there's any objection from the board. Okay. Thank you very much.
Okay. And with that, I will also mention that I had a previous business relationship with one of the properties that is directly southwest of the project site, just across the alley. It was probably 5 years ago. And I actually ended up designing one of the detached garage ADUs that is, we'll see it in all the diagrams, but in no way do I consider that to be anything that makes me unqualified or unbiased. I'll be unbiased and a, you know, qualified decision maker, in my opinion. If anybody has any objections, now would be the time to let me know if that is going to be a problem. I assume not. It's been a long time ago, and I have no current relationship with that individual. So, okay. Now let's proceed, Janice.
Okay. Janice Coogan with Kirkland Planning Department. Let's see here.
So I'll just go over the site and zoning code requirements, and then the property owner, Rob Dibble, is here, who will make a presentation, and then we have Chris Amundson from Freiheit and Ho here to answer any questions that you might have as well. So the applicant's proposal is a two-story office building. They are requesting your approval of reduced front yard setbacks on Market Street and 3rd Street. The zoning code allows for that as part of the design review process in Chapter 142, and they're proposing two levels of parking. So the review process is a conceptual design conference, and we're looking for your direction for what the applicant should provide at the next step, which is the design response conference. Environmental review is also required. And then in addition to that, the applicant is proposing a zoning or a height variance to use the historical grade of the property to calculate the average building elevation. And the applicant will go into more detail on that. The way that the average building elevation is calculated in the zoning code is based on existing pre-development grade. And based on past grading that has occurred on the property, they are requesting to use the previous grade to measure height from. And they're also asking for a height modification of the rooftop appurtenances. But that's really That process to a zoning permit and that request will be handled by the hearing examiner through public hearing. So I guess as you are reviewing this application, you need to keep that in mind that assuming that the height variance will be approved as your assumption when you're going through the design review process. So the design response and the design review process will be, that decision will be handled first before it goes to the hearing examiner. So I hope that's clear. They're also asking for a parking modification to reduce the number of on-site parking stalls to 4 stalls. And they've done an analysis in the on the surrounding, the parking, the on-street parking on the surrounding streets. And that decision is a planning official decision. So that will be part of the review process. They've submitted a parking analysis, and the city's transportation engineer is has made a recommendation to the planning department, and we will continue to process that. They've also asked for the two driveways are close to the street corners, and they've asked for a modification for that, and that will be processed as also as part of the transportation impact analysis for the project. So here's photos of the existing site, one-story office, and the single-family homes on the behind the office. There is an alley, and there's single-family homes in that direction. This shows a view going north on Market Street of the alley and the single-family homes to the west. To the north is a two-story brick office building that is across the street. And this is a view looking east across Market Street. And the this is a converted single-family home with an office use in there, I believe, and this is a large shrub there, and then single-family home here. Okay, now I'll go over the zoning. It's Market Street Corridor 1. It's an office multifamily zone. The height requirement is 25 feet above average building elevation. Within 30 feet of a low-density zone, and if you have a building, a wall that is greater than 15 feet in height, the structure length is limited to 50 feet in length. So again, there's that 30-foot distance from a low-density zone, and that applies on the west and south facades. So the idea is to modulate your building length and to minimize the impact. It's a transition issue or a transition technique for the single-family homes. A 15-foot-wide landscape buffer is required on the west and south property lines, and again, that's because of the single-family use. Tree retention is required as much as feasible for the existing trees. And then the parking stall that's required is 1 per 300 square feet of gross floor area. The Public Works Department or director determines the width of sidewalks for Market Street. Street trees would be required along there. And pedestrian connection from the entrance to the sidewalk. Pedestrian oriented guidelines. The Market Street corridor is considered a pedestrian oriented design district, and there are some specific Market Street guidelines that are outlined in that document. And those are in the staff report, but I'll just overview them, I'll summarize them. Minimize impacts on the adjacent residential, building mass to reflect the scale of the neighborhood, streetscape improvements. They mention historic lighting, street trees, and pedestrian seating. Now, the I should mention that Market Street, it also talks about the historic district and Market Street, but this site is not in that historic district. Market Street is not considered a pedestrian-oriented street. However, it is in a pedestrian-oriented guideline or design district. 8 to 10 foot wide sidewalks are encouraged, but they're not required. Scale, so things to consider here as you're reviewing this application and things to discuss are the architectural scale that of the building that reflects the adjacent residential, vertical horizontal modulation, definition, human scale, especially with the reduced setbacks along the street, and pedestrian space and plazas. So I have several slides here that go over the different design guidelines. I can go through them really quickly, or if you want to address these slide by slide. So shall I just go through them? Okay.
Yeah.
Then the pedestrian orientation of the project, treatment of the building facade along the front edges, weather protection, awnings, canopies are encouraged, the pedestrian connections, again, plazas. And for your discussion, things to consider are how does the proposed massing and location of structures relate to the pedestrian? Are there opportunities for pedestrian-oriented spaces at the street level, connections, pedestrian connections, and how to engage the pedestrians? Landscaping, they are encouraged at the ground level for pedestrians and to reduce the scale of the building forms, and especially adjacent to the single family areas, the landscape buffers will be required. So this, so really the purpose of tonight is to have you give the applicant and the architects direction on the information. They provided three alternatives, and they'll go over that. And if you could provide direction to them on which scheme or which option is preferred, and information, things you'd like to see, design elements for when they come back for the design response conference. So now I'd like to introduce Rob Dibble, who will provide the presentation.
Can we ask you just a couple questions?
Sure.
You?
Sure.
Before we start, you were talking about the setback.
Yes.
Could you just review that real quickly?
Yes.
What is the setback for that?
Yes, good question. So I'll put this up here. So because of the site here, it's got streets on all three sides. You have a 20-foot front yard setback required, whoops, on all three sides. Sorry, there we go. That one, yeah. Previous, there we go. So 20 feet along 11th, 20 feet along Market Street, and 20 feet on 3rd Street, and there's the other remaining yards are side yards, minimum 5 feet, total of 15. So they're proposing 10 feet back, well, 15 feet along this property line, and then parking, three parking stalls along the alley. And then their three schemes have, or options have, different setback requirements. So they are the scheme three, and they'll go more into that, they are showing a zero front setback along Market Street. And they'll go into more detail about that.
So, Janice, on that topic, can you just review the four Market Street District 1, 2, 3, 4, what the setbacks are from Market?
For the different zones?
Yeah.
In Market Street? Let's see, I don't have that information in front of me. No, Jeremy, can you take a look at it? Let's see here. There we go. That's up by.
Well, four is, can be 10, can't it, for an office? Just trying to get a flavor for how this ties in with the whole corridor.
Yes, front yard can be 10 feet.
Okay.
This is 1 and 4.
Oh, only in the MS4 zone, not the MS1. Right. This is MS1. And MS2, and that's up by the Zip Market area.
That's zero.
That is zero.
And four, the historic district is zero.
Four is 10 feet.
Oh, sorry, three, the historic district.
Three.
Is zero.
Let's look at three. Sounds like you've done your homework. Let's double check that. Zero in MSC. Which is closer to downtown.
Right.
Yeah.
So 1 is 20, 2 and 3 are 0, 4 is 10.
Yes.
Okay.
Do you have any idea, either direction of our site, where the changes to the next zone?
Oh, we need our zoning map out. I can. Why don't I go get a zoning map?
I can just pull it up on that.
Oh, okay.
We have that.
Yeah.
In one of the slides.
Oh, okay, great.
Yes.
Okay. So I'd like to introduce Rob Dibble, who's the owner of the office building, and he'll go through his presentation.
Thank you, Janice. Good evening, and thank you for having me. It's a real treat to be here. So my name's Rob Dibble. My company is Dibble Engineers. I bought the building back in 2008. It's actually really end of 07. And so I'm also going to just introduce my staff. I've got a great architectural team from Fry and Ho. This is Arthur Chang up front, Chris Amundsen in the middle, and Darren Russell in the back. And then I have my office manager, Vivian, who's here with me as well. So for me, the history goes back a long time. My mom was actually raised in Houghton, was a mighty kangaroo of about class of 59, I believe. My dad interviewed to be a city engineer here in the city of Kirkland probably in the early 60s. I actually grew up in Bellingham, but I came back, and I've been here since I graduated from college in this Kirkland area. So I have a long history of wanting and being and working around here, and we're very fortunate because we're one of the few structural engineering firms in Kirkland, and we primarily try and serve the local area, which is the east side and so forth. So the history of the site actually dates back. This is from about the 1930s. There was a Texaco station here, and next to that it was the shop with what looked like a little mother-in-law, and then just slightly to the north on the same parcel was a couple cabins. The bottom right corner is the building that was built, I believe sometime around 1974. They took out the fuel station, they took out a bunch of fuel tanks, they took out a whole lot of contaminated soil, built the building, but didn't take out enough contaminated soil. So the real short history is the developer sold it and then bought it back in foreclosure about 2 years later, did some remediation work with Time Oil, took out roughly about 15,000 cubic feet of more contaminated soil and resold it again. I got involved in it about 2008 when I bought it, and probably if I'd known exactly what I was getting into, I would never have bought the site, but that's water under the bridge. I bought the building because I wanted room to grow. I was former office on 25 Central, moved into this. It was plenty of space, 4,000 square feet. We, when we bought it, always had the idea and concept of redeveloping it in the future. So as we fast forward, here we are. So to be fair, I'm really excited. This has taken me 8 years to get here. So hopefully you guys will help us out on some design guidance. You saw some photos of the site. Here it is on the south. Here it is looking up the street from the 11th, looking down onto the building, and then the site on Market Street. So this was the zoning map I believe you're asking for. Slightly up the page is the Zip Market retail area, slightly, and that's about 14th and Market. We're about 10th and Market, and then down to about 6th and Market is that historic district. So we're kind of tucked in there between those higher commercial level or historic districts. The site's 15,000 square feet, so if you take 75%, 70% of that lot coverage is 10.5. So my marching orders were, I need a bigger floor plate for my office space. We are just packed into 4,000 square feet. We need as close to 10 as you can get. The best we got was 8. I squeezed the architect multiple iterations, and they really can't get much more than about 8. So feeling pretty good. This is about as big as our one floor plate is that we can occupy. Oops, did that go the right direction? Yeah. So we have some various photos there, vicinity map. Okay, so there's the envelope plan diagram. You see the three front yards. Very challenging because by the time you pare back all these setbacks, the building footprint just keeps getting smaller and smaller. So 20 foot on the fronts, the side to the north, which is really kind of to the left. That's neighbor Bob. Bob's a great guy. I'm helping him out on his house. So there's that 10 foot plus 15 for landscaping, and then when you get above 15 feet, it's 30 foot. Across the alley is that purple stretch. So fair enough. So we get into scheme one. Scheme one is the code compliant version. The code compliant version is with all the right setbacks as requested. We looked at the floor plates, and this comes up with about a 6,800 square foot upper and a 4,600 square foot lower. It asks for 15 offsite parking stalls. I actually started this about 18, and they whittled me down to 15, and I'm not sure this is actually still going to fly because it's a lot of off-street parking. But it does, it falls short in a number of ways. It doesn't really have the square footage that I'd like or even need. It doesn't provide any weather protection for the pedestrians. I feel like we're losing a little bit of that when I was participating in the Kirkland Vision 2035, the future of where we want to take Kirkland. And the whole goal was, you know, white-collar jobs, urban corridor up Market Street, and, you know, things that of that nature was what I was trying to shoot for. So there's your floor plates. There's your parking low in the basement. The main floor, which has the parking coming in off 11th, and then the ramp down, and then the upper floor, which would be our floor, is the second floor. And that was a total of 11,500 square feet with the right setbacks. But it's going to be a challenge to make that one work for me. But that's specific. Scheme two is a option that I'm a fan of because we're pushing all three setbacks. We're reducing all three front yards, trying to get a little more modulation. But it also requires 8 offsite parks and encroaches Market Street. We tried to square it up because that's obviously more efficient. So we have increased setbacks on the third, which is to the left, and a little bit more, and had that little plaza, but it has more offsite parkings, and that's a challenge. But the square footage was coming in at 12,897, so about 13,000. And I think at the end of the day, that's about what we've concluded based on the parking for the site that we're going to be able to arrive on. It's just that scheme two requires 8 offsite parks versus the first one, which was 15 off-site parks. And it doesn't provide any really much, if any, weather protection to the refuge of the Market Street pedestrians. And really the frontage, it doesn't feel like it activates the street. It doesn't feel like it's a building on the street. It doesn't pair up or match with, like, you know, Leland Place or any of that historic district. Or I'm not sure this scheme 2 really quite gets us there either. But due to the great architectural skills of Fright and Hope, we developed Scheme 3. Scheme 3, which was to bring the street, the building more towards Market Street. And I understand as a massing, obviously, it's going to look a lot better when we're done. But the concept was bring it out to Market Street, provide that pedestrian frontage, give it wider sidewalks, get the street trees nice and well-placed, you know, between the canopies or what have you, have a nice entrance, give it that urban corridor feel, you know, pull it away from the residents' homes on the back alley side and the house to the north. Help that transition zone from, you know, stepping up the building on either side. And then let's utilize that the roof deck for an amenity as a plaza. So I think we've got a few things we're requesting, which is to reduce the front yard setbacks. Only with Scheme 3, we're only asking for 2 front yard setbacks instead of 3. So it's the one facing 3rd Street and the one facing Market, and then we're asking for a departure to allow the stair access up to the roof deck area to have that amenity. And there's the floor plans. So this got us the largest footprint for my office of 8,048, and then a portion downstairs, which is 4,777. We maximized the parking on the below grade and maximized the parking on the upper level. We're actually eliminating one Market Street egress because right now we pull in on 11th, like fairly similar to what's shown. We're just shifting a little bit to the right or to the whatever that direction is, east-ish. It's not linear. So that's already been submitted through Tang on approval. And then, so there you go. Looks great. In the design, we've got, if you look very faintly, there's that red shaded zone, which is that massing views. So this is looking on Market Street, looking up to the building. The little blue-gray house was just built here a couple years ago. You kind of see that red shade outlined. It really does fit the scale, because we're all working under the same building height limit. Actually, yes, talking about the historic grades that Janice touched on, there's still one fuel tank. Now, it's not like a residential fuel tank that's, you know, 4 foot by 8 feet. This is like 4 or 5 feet diameter by about 25 feet. The good news is, based on working with the guy who was on site back in 1974, Jeff Caspar of Farallon, he goes, we got pretty much everything we could except what's underneath the building. So when we were asking for historic grades, we know that you used to be able to drive off Market into our little Texaco and then back off. And so right now it sits down upwards of 5 feet in along Market Street. So we've asked and requested for, and going to appear before the hearing examiner, to go back to some of those historic grades. What that does by the time you average it out, though, it's a 15-inch increase. So it's only 1'3". You'd think it'd be more. I argued I thought it would be a lot more, but their calc said what they said. And that's building height stuff. So it's a 15-inch height increase. So there's a couple view angles. Let's see, the top one, looking up 3rd Street. The bottom one, that's neighbor Bob's house. Bob and Patty, they're great people. He's been the one I've dialogued the most. I want to make sure that we have good friendly relations. I talk to him. I talk to the various neighbors across the street, Wolfgang Poles and Roshan Parikh, who I think you must have done his garage, yes, ADU. And I actually went in with Roshan, too, his ADU, which he did a great job, by the way. Nice job. And by the time I said we're pulling it to the south and pulling it away, he's actually, oh, well, that'll look really nice. And so of all the neighbor outreach I did, Roshan was the only one who really said, I just don't want reflective glazing in my backyard. If you can go an anti-glaze on your glass so that the sun glare doesn't hit me right, he goes, I'm fine. So I'm hoping to get some letters of support once we get the official comment period coming in. We're going to incorporate a series of urban-friendly green LEED features. There's the historic Windermere building up top, Leland Place, some street trees like we see there by Jimmy John's and Sur La Table. We want to have that pedestrian-oriented walkway with the street trees on the street side versus the way they are now, which is sidewalks right next to the street, gives them a little more safety. And to be fair, those old cherry trees are mostly all rotted anyway. They're on their last legs. We want to have some pavers and some green solar. In fact, I was just at the Solaris Kirkland here a week ago. I'm going to see what we can go with that, because I'd like to incorporate some of these features like rain gardens and so forth. So in summary, here's our scheme 1, 2, and 3. Scheme 1, setback more code compliant. It's got more off-site parking requests. Good news is the neighborhood has a lot of off-site parking that's underutilized. 10W did a really thorough parking study on that, concluded there was something like 200 some available parks within that 800-foot walking distance, and I think at peak it was like 23% utilized. So there was lots of parks available. Scheme 2, encroaching all 3 setbacks, but it gets a little more undulation, but it also has more off-site parks. It's 8. Scheme 3 tries to just have 2 front yard setbacks, pulls it out towards market, does that nice urban-friendly frontage, streetscape, landscape, creates the little rooftop plaza, some green roof components, creates an increased buffers, setbacks on the 2 residential sides. We are asking for that departure to get the stair up to the roof. So I think Janice had said departures, but I think there's only 1, unless I'm mistaken. It's just the stair, 1 stair. And it's only 4 off-site parking. So we hope and believe that that's a great direction, but ultimately we want your feedback and would invite you to ask questions. Are there any questions?
Questions. Who wants to start?
Oh, boy.
I'll start with one. In your preferred scheme, 3, what's the, with having no front yard setback there along Market, what's the sidewalk width then that would leave?
Great question. Architect?
This is Chris Hansen. So we plan on having a minimum 8-foot sidewalk there, and it may go to 10 feet right up to the building. Depends on what landscape we want right next to the building, and that includes street tree in the sidewalk.
But you got, depending on what you choose for landscaping, you have that 10 feet, though, if you were, yes, just to say. Okay.
It is pretty wide now. Yes. Yes, sir.
So most of the corridor is Category 1, right? And there are lots of these odd triangular pieces of land which have this difficult setback requirement because there are many streets coming together at different angles. Are there any other properties along there that you've observed where the structure is encroached into the 20-yard foot setback on front yard setback off Market?
Specifically in Arizona, I mean, Leland Place is right on the street, the antique mall there, the historic arts and crafts building. Those are all front yards. Further up.
But they're in the historic district. I'm talking about in,
yes,
MSC 1, which is most of the corridor, except for the 2 historic districts, or the 2 0 front yard setback districts. One's the historic district, and 1 is, a business district, separate business district. And then when you get right down to the bottom of Market Street, we're cut down to 10 feet. But when I was there today, I didn't see any encroachment in the front yard setback for District Number 1 in the whole corridor. So there's kind of a, there's a concept there that's developing, which I'm worried about changing.
Yes, sir. I don't know for absolute sure, but 4D Architects, their garage, which is, you know, full height thing, come forward, certainly appears a lot less than 20 feet. So that would be one example. That's the only one I know for that I think is would fall into that application. It's a little further north on the right side. Right. Yes, sir. There's a trade-off.
I have some questions for staff, probably. What can you refresh us on the exact wording for the exchange if we're to grant a variation or a departure? What there's about public space or public amenity?
Well, in chapter 142, it doesn't really give that, and that's the chapter that talks about that the design review board has the authority to reduce setbacks in this zone, but there isn't any criteria given.
I thought there were.
Superior design.
And not I thought it had to be a public, some benefit to the public.
I thought it had to be some kind of retail too that allowed it to go to the street. What is the area? I mean, is it office, retail? What allows it to come to the street?
There's no, typically in a retail, pedestrian or retail zone, we want the 0 foot setback because you want the retail up right up at the street. So that's where you typically see a 0 foot setback. There are some other zones with office, like in Juanita, et cetera, where you might see a 0 foot setback also.
It is.
To your question about what the modification criteria are, says the DRB can approve minor variations in required yards. The two criteria, one is it results in superior design and fulfills the policy basis for the design regulations and design guidelines. And secondly, is it doesn't have a substantial detrimental effect on nearby properties or the city as a whole.
Yes, thank you, Jeremy. Thanks. That is in the staff report.
Okay.
So,
my next question is the off-site parking, how does that work?
Mm-hmm. The applicant submitted a parking study and analyzed all the number of potential parking spaces that could be on the street and how many were vacant. And they submitted an analysis of that. And we have a recommendation for approval from the transportation engineer. But it's up to the planning department to approve that. And so we haven't completed that process. We also are required to notify the property owners within 300 feet. And as part of the, before making a decision, and as part of the variance application, there is a notice of a comment period, notice of application, and that's going out this week. So that will, and in that notice, it talks about a parking modification, and so we're waiting to hear comments from the neighbors.
Was that approved for all 15 or for 8 or for 4?
Oh, for 4, 4 off-site, or a reduction in 4 parking stalls.
Okay.
And it hasn't been approved yet. But, it's the traffic engineer has
okay.
recommended approval.
Okay.
So they're really reducing the number of on-site parking stalls by 4 that those would be handled on street.
Okay.
I noticed on the the ABE calcs on all three options, they were very, very close. I'm curious, you chose to use the more complex method versus the simpler just midpoint method, because I suspect strongly that the midpoint method might give you higher. Is there a reason? Did the city say, no, you can't use the least rectangle version?
Well, that's a good question, and I would defer to the architect because...
I mean, the historic stuff, the historic grades is kind of a guessing game, but certainly the midpoint method probably is going to be almost out into the street for the northeastern midpoint. So I just was curious if the city had said, no, you can't do the... Okay.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. That's the only question I had. Anybody else?
Yeah. Scott? Can you review, actually, on especially A and E, how the very long walls, what's the footage? So what are we looking at, especially along Market Street? How long is that? Yep. Just, you know, and actually kind of walks through each of the schemes. You know, and it's basically looking at the longest walls and the ones that are most visible from Market Street. The alley, we're not as concerned about, but it seems like along Market on A and the preferred scheme, I just wanted to know exactly how long it is.
Yes, the for scheme 3, that frontage is 60 feet.
Okay.
Yes. And so one of the things that we tried with Scheme 3 was the facade, the elevation that had least impact was the one to the south because it kind of basically looks down Market Street. So we chose that one, and that one's 25 feet and 60 feet on Market.
Okay, wait, you lost me on that. Which wall are you looking at?
The 3rd Street, so it should be the left side of Scheme 3.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you, sir. There we go.
Yeah.
So that one is 25 feet. This one is 60 feet. And then this one, which would be the longest, but it's also adjacent to residential, so we wanted to transition it. That will be 38 plus 47. It'll be 85 feet. So from here to here is about 85 feet. And so we stepped it up and then created some horizontal relief there.
So in the majority of this is at 25-foot level? It's...
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Yeah, because the Market Street frontage would have been, from historic grades, how you drove off Market onto the gas station lot, and then it sloped gently to that back alley. And so right now you come off of Market Street and drop down like 5 feet, but then it goes flat. And I think the elevation change from this corner, the high corner, to this corner is about 8 feet.
Can I just throw in, before we get too far into this whole project, did we all agree to use the sort of cardinal designations for the elevation, the way they face, you know, southeast, southwest, northeast, northwest? Because I'm really confused now. The staff report kind of says north and west, and I don't know which is which. And I've done enough projects west of Market to know it is confusing as all get out. But if we agree that we can all know that southwest is the alley, you know, southeast is the, you know, the third west direction. Does that make sense, or am I just off the rails here for the board to?
I don't know. I kind of like Market and alley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because I mean, we make it into a true east elevation that is the Market Street elevation that we. If we start saying east and west, that one's going to not work. So, or just do a project north-south.
I do, too.
I actually think Scott to use the street frontages.
Okay.
And then for the interior property lines.
Alley 11th, 3rd West, 10th West. Okay. All right. At least everybody's on the same page. Okay.
Thank you, sir. It is confusing.
It is very confusing because it's almost exactly 45-45. It's slightly off of that, but it's west of Market. Thanks a lot, somebody, for... Okay. Any other questions to the applicant from the board? Susan?
Yes.
Dive in.
This might be for you and staff. So could you go back to the code requirement for the 30-foot facade widths and talk about which of these street faces...
Back to that zoning.
Yeah, it's within 330 feet of a single family zone. So you've got the, I don't think this worked, does it? Yeah, there you go. So you've got single family over here and over here. So that 50 foot width maximum facade applies. Now, and that's for the portion of the structure that is greater than 15 feet in height.
So none of the street facades are affected by that?
No.
Yes, the alley there. Right. The majority of the parking is from the alley.
But you still have one off the street. Is there any, did you ever look at having, bringing only all your curb cuts on the alley instead of not, no street curb cuts?
I believe the code says you can't. It says you have to have one non-alley access. So we had to have that there. Pretty sure.
This is Arthur Chang. There's a secondary reason. It's just because we have two levels of parking, and so we have to, it's too small of a site to do a ramp to get down to a second level of parking. So the necessity to provide parking for this creates the second alley access, and it works really well for our barrier-free stalls to be able to get from grade to inside the building. So.
Thank you. We're engineers, so we usually go to the architect's office. It's typically one person, and it's the mailman, the UPS driver, and the courier guy. And then on a very rare event, we'll have a client come in. But in this day and age, we don't host events. We're our humble little 4,000 square foot office. We've got 25 people stacked in there. So we are immediately going to take over the whole upstairs, and really probably within 5 years we would take over the downstairs. So it's mostly staff parking.
So that's an interesting point you just made. So the main floor is for a different tenant, a different use?
Initially, and that's really the way financing is, you have to have at least 51% immediately and 67% within, I think, 3 or 5 years for an SBA loan. And so we're going to take about 65% immediately, and as soon as we're able, and potentially with the growth of being us off-site for a year while it's built, we may end up taking the whole building. But initially, I'm planning on just taking the whole upstairs, and then the lower tier will be available both to the market and then to us as soon as we're able to take it back.
And it's all office use?
Yes, ma'am. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay.
That's just one. Sorry. Can you just go over the apparatus on the roof and how much higher it actually is?
So, yes, sir. I appreciate you asking that. Let me back up to the scheme three. There it is. So, for the apparatus, all we really want is this little tiny triangular stair tower to get up to a little roof deck. And then what this plan doesn't show, because this is really about massing, was we're going to have rooftop garden zone, and then we're going to have solar arrays going across here. And so we'd have one little view deck to throw, a picnic table and a barbecue for events, and then some garden area to help soften the view from anyone above and make it an amenity that we would have that would also make a prettier roof for the neighbors and create energy. It's the idea.
So the other section in the front of the building, is that your utilities, or what is the other?
The entry into the alley comes off this, and transportation.
I'm just looking, is that your air conditioning? And
oh, this?
Yeah.
That's the elevator override.
Okay.
Oh, right.
Sorry about that. I just
didn't. And then what we did is we put another HVAC unit up there as a placeholder. Because what we'd like to do is consolidate it and then make it into like an entry feature, since we have to go up anyway.
Okay.
So would that be a departure?
No, we're staying underneath the 4 foot allowance. So.
Right. Right, so the only departure, I believe, is this stair for a headroom to get up there.
And for that stair, what we're trying to do is frame it so that it actually slopes away, so when we, from the neighbor's perspective, it should stay, it looks like it's, less intrusive. So we're trying to be as sensitive as we can to the neighbor by kind of sloping the stair and only taking the height we need for it to get access.
Thank you, Arthur.
Sorry.
So the main floor, is it, elevation-wise, is it pretty close? Because since we sloped that 8 feet sort of from the 11th west corner down to the, third west corner, are we sort of splitting the difference and coming in off of Market right there? Or is there any up and down to get to the main floor level?
Right. So coming off 11th, this is pretty flat. And then we tried to get the entrance as close to this because you want to walk from here into the lobby, and then you want to walk this way up the lobby. So we tried to locate the lobby as close to the high portion, and then it slopes off down, 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 and then down, 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 down. So the gradient isn't purely this way, but the gradient is probably down this way, is downhill.
So that's scheme two. Scheme three.
Oh. Yeah, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's pretty close. So
yeah.
Scheme three, we're fronting on Market. So we're again coming in at a level that is, what's that in relationship to the alley then? I assume we're not going to do a lot of floor changes, level changes on that main floor.
No, okay. The first floor.
We need John the microphone if you don't mind stepping up.
The first floor is level with the entrance on Market Street, and then when you enter the parking below, you go down a ramp to get below that first floor. So the first floor is level with the entrance to Market Street.
So the first floor is never sunk below
street
level? No.
The intent is to have it at street level.
At street level.
Okay.
And so probably at this corner, it might be 18 inches or so.
Down a little bit.
It'll stick up out of the ground a little bit.
Okay. And then what are you getting floor to floor? Is it enough? I know a 25-foot height limit's pretty dang tough, but is it enough for the big floor plate?
Well, our current office has 7'8" ceilings. Mm-hmm. And I think was it 11, 10, 10'6" floor to floor? So whatever it is okay. Massively better than what we have now.
Okay. All right. That was all I was curious.
Yes, sir.
Any other questions? To the applicant. Okay. Now would be the time for anybody in the audience, any public, to address this project specifically. Looks like we're down to one person. Anybody? Nope. Okay. Hearing none, then we will proceed directly into deliberation as a board. Dave, do you want to start?
Okay. I have trouble with encroaching into the corridor, 20-foot corridor on Market, setback on Market. I think the concept of that corridor and the issue here is sort of the neighborhood character. The corridor, practically the whole corridor, most of it's developed and most of it is set back 20 feet, particularly the east side and landscaped, et cetera. On the west side, these odd triangular spots, a number of them haven't been developed, and it's not clear, they're going to all have problems with doing that. But the zoning code is pretty clear that the idea of activating the street, et cetera, is confined to the historic area, which is a small area, nice buildings and nicely done, and then further up the street, sort of up at the top rise where there's a commercial area on the west. And to me, I don't see the vision that we're supposed to activate the street and bring these buildings in. I don't just see that urban character as part of the plan for this street as it stands. So I have difficulty with that. In terms of the options presented, scheme two is kind of interesting coming out to the street. It to me adds, it's just more interesting. I still have a little trouble with coming out at all in terms of what the benefit to the public is of doing that.
We can dive into this as a big topic because it is a big one. Carolyn, you're nodding.
I agree with that, with Dave's analysis completely. Can we really justify a departure based on the criteria here? Does it result in superior design? I'm not convinced that it does. And the zoning code is pretty strong here. I understand why, and were it my building, I would want to do it too, but I'm not sure that I can really justify it.
I guess that to me was the biggest, departure here is you look down Market there, and it is very residential, fairly generous buffers all along the way. And to Dave's point, the code is not set up to encourage that type of encroachment. And so when I first saw this, I thought, well, even if it would have been halfway, usually we're talking about going in a few feet to get in superior design. And now we're talking about 20 feet, which is a very significant portion of the entire footprint. And I don't know what sort of superior design could come back to start to offset that variation that we grant. In my mind, it is very impactful. I think it would be very different than anything else along that part of Market. I guess what I was starting to say is, if there would have been some other, if it had been a less of a, instead of just going to 0 feet, if it had been something else that wasn't quite as strong of a change, I guess, as I may not have as much anxiety about it, but essentially zero setback commercial, and at that, it's not even a neighborhood benefit of saying, well, it's going to be retail or something like that. It's going to be real activated. It's going to be office that goes right to the sidewalk. So I guess that's kind of my other bit of heartburn on that one.
Scott?
I'm a little bit more relaxed on it just because of the triangle shape that this is going to have. It's not a rectangle, on the street. With that said, here's where I am having a little bit of a problem is there is no pedestrian benefit. A rain shield is not a benefit in this case because you have to look at where the rain shield, what's it going to do? It's a huge street on both sides. There's really very limited area that would be shielding. And there is no pedestrian plaza. There's no, visually, yes, scheme three, I think is, unfortunately with scheme two, I think it looks like a warehouse. The A with the setback, the thing that bothers me is the, along Market, you just have this huge long, it's going to be a very long wall. At least with the preferred, we're getting a little bit more of an angular presentation of the building. It does blend in a little bit better with the surrounding buildings. Mm-hmm. And so I just wish in the preferred scheme I could give it a better liking if there was some benefit to Kirkland, but I'm not seeing a benefit. I hate sending him away saying you can't do, you know, because this is a really tough lot. It's a triangle. And I don't know if they get the encroachment that it is all that bad of a thing, but I think there has to be a little bit better design and give to the city. So I'm not saying they need this 20-foot setback, because I think this lot is not going to connotate, and I don't think that it's taking away from Kirkland that they are coming into the setback, but I think there has to be some better benefit, something that, I mean, even if they did some kind of plaza out front or something that activated the whole corner going around Market on, you know, 11th to 3rd.
So their pro on Scheme 3 was that the 20-foot setback on 11th West, which is a true residential street, uh-huh, is observed fully. There's no encroachment. There's no variation requested there. As a board, do we say, okay, well, if you want to do less encroachment onto the Market Street and push some of that over to the 11th West, which is still in a 20-foot, you know, setback, is that a better place to put some of the pooge out, so to speak? Or I'll be honest, I have had kind of totally a different opinion compared to other people. In fact, are we able to legally pull up Google Maps or anything like that to look at this in up and down the whole Market corridor?
Absolutely.
Can we do that, Lee? I mean, because it really is a very handy, useful thing to see. The west side of Market is the office uses that are there. There's one new office building, the arch. I don't even know what the name of it is. It's the arch thing with the subterranean garage that peels underneath, and that uses the 20-foot setback to get underneath that building. But there's very little else at West of Market that's new, yeah, office buildings. You know, the Zip Market and the dog shop and all that stuff that's right up at the crest is, yeah, maybe it's due for big redevelopment at some point. But
yeah.
Wonderful. Okay. So, you know, as we head up there, so that's an office building right there to the right. In fact, an engineer that I used to use was in there. This is the new one, the newest one there on, and that is a long, long facade. And again, the parking for that dives in underneath. Can we turn around, go 180?
Okay, you think that is a 20-foot setback?
Oh, I'm probably assuming, was this reviewed earlier by the DRB before our time? Or was
this was pre-DRB, but it is a 20-foot setback. I don't remember any variances.
Okay. Other than, well, I guess.
Right now, it doesn't look like 20 feet, but that's probably just the way the pictures.
The angle, the perspective.
Could be. I don't know. It depends on where the property line truly is.
Yeah.
Yeah, you go over the top.
Yeah.
So
there's a strange relationship to the sidewalk.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the you know, subterranean parking entrance right there. And it obviously looks like they probably also did the 20-foot on, if this must be 12th West, or the pickup
at
11th. Oh, it's on the other side of the street, of course, yeah. Can we go in further north, Jeremy, up just on Market, just to... And even at the same time, we kind of look to the other side of the street where it's orthogonal grid. You know, that's... there haven't been too many new buildings there as well, other than the old apartments and... I don't know what that... building is there. We're not quite to 14th yet, are we? Where the
how is that new series of three new single families coming down here?
Okay. I guess my point on this is to sort of look at this. There have been no other oddball lots that have requested to be redeveloped on that west side of Market. And this may be a really good time to look at it and say, okay, is it, you know, is a 20-foot setback on odd, difficult lots, is that really justified? I'm just...
Can we actually... Would that turn into a question for the planning commission then? Lot,
the one that we're reviewing, can we go all, just all the way around it?
Sure, jump in while...
Fence to your current building, but where they sit back from the street and there's parking between the sidewalk and the building, I think are, you know, it's an odd suburban model for this neighborhood, which is foreign to the original platting and street grid. So that this bothers me a lot more. And, so this 20-foot setback to me is a suburban response to the street as opposed to, and I understand it's not an urban street, but it's, there's a character of East and West Market that's a little different for it as a business, as an arterial that has businesses on it. So that said, I think the point about it, it's an office, not retail. And it's a tough light lot. It's also a really intriguing. Me, if you're asking for a departure on the setbacks, you also need to be providing something special there because setting a precedent if it's granted. And I'm not sure that any of the schemes live up to that quite.
See, and that was my point, is that I'm not against doing this, but I want to see a benefit. Because actually, scheme three. Actually, scheme one and scheme three, I like the shapes of the building better. I don't want it to seem, because one of our guidelines is that it blends in with the surrounding buildings. Not that it has to look like a residential building, but it should, I think it shouldn't look like a warehouse building.
Right. I think there's a need for vertical modulation here that's in keeping with, I don't think it's a wrong thing to reference the pattern of the historic blocks along the street, personally. And this is just what I was thinking. On the preferred scheme, this is really contrary. I think what bothers me more is that I almost feel like the building should come to the sidewalk all three sides until it gets to the crossing of 11th and 3rd, and the setback on 11th, to me, it's sort of making it be neither here nor there. So I'd almost rather see a different form along Market that talks more about the triangle, perhaps. But maybe in doing that, it also can create some public space there on Market Street where you cross, the sidewalk comes across. Maybe it's sort of this hybrid where, there is a plaza opportunity on the sidewalk. I don't know. I mean, it seems like there's, I kind of want to be picking on each one.
The smorgasbord. Scott, you'd say that we need to see a benefit. I mean, to this, is it, I think the benefit that is being, that we're able to grant is just that it's a better building. It's a very subjective, it's a better building. We're not, there's no requirement for a public pedestrian plaza,
no.
Water feature, blah, 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 all that kind of stuff. That
I think, I think some of it is not even just, it's the visual. I'm not saying they need a park. I'm not saying they need a big, coffee sitting area. But I think visually, if it's just sidewalk, I don't think that's a benefit.
That's a requirement.
Well, that is true. I would caution us all to, these are just conceptual massing models. You know, if we dive into design response topics, you know, right away, we're a little cart ahead of the horse.
But I do think, you know, at the same time, it's very difficult to say, okay, we can have zero setback or setback or whatever without some caveat that, I mean, just right now, we're not seeing that better building. Mm-hmm. So it's going to take the detail to prove it that it is indeed that.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard with these three schemes, though, the way they're presented, to formulate that because, you know, as you're saying, well, you know, see, I wasn't against, like, you know, the preferred scheme coming out and having what it is, but I guess it does bother me that there's the 20-foot on one side all the way to the sidewalk on the other, and... And then as we go down third, it's just kind of slightly tucked back.
The one of the pieces on the scheme three that I kind of went, is there a better way to do it? And that's when the upper floor that sits directly over the opening to the on-grade parking, and I know exactly that's the 50-foot chunk that can be, you know, above the first story. And they've pushed it back to the alley. I would almost say bring it forward, let the leftover chunk, you know, the voided chunk be back off the alley there, and then maybe say don't go zero on Market, or, you know, go less on Market like Nolan's suggesting, and maybe let a little bit poke out into the 20 feet on 11th. Because I do think, and we can see it in here, and I think those trees actually are there, and they should be retainable. There's a large chunk of I don't know if they're not poplars. What are those, you know, between the neighbors that you mentioned?
They're very tall.
They're fir.
Oh, they are.
Yeah, some kind of, along the border with neighbor Bob.
Yeah, neighbor Bob.
Those are all some kind of evergreen.
Okay, but they're very healthy and
Very, and we weren't going to touch them.
They're not, they're...
Nope. Okay. We were going to have that 20-foot buffer and it'd all be the evergreens. So we were just going to get rid of the old cherry trees, and then there's an older tree here that has to go out due to the...
Okay. But in my mind, yes, the trees come and go, but I think these are there for a pretty good duration. Putting a taller mass there... and again, the 25-foot height limit is residential zoning. I mean, it's... This is not a massive building. It can be made to look massive with blank facades and where you're coming from, Scott, but I think it's easily resolvable to make it not, you know, massing and bulk out of character on any of the street frontages. The survey shows them just barely inside the property line. Oh, well, on 11th. Oh, not on 11th proper, but on the side property line. Is that you were talking about the ones on 11th?
Yeah, I'm looking at the street frontages. Yeah.
Oh, I see. Looks like a bunch of them are in the right of way.
So that's a pretty gracious width already. There's no intent to change the curb line on any of these.
No. It is a conundrum. It's kind of a question to staff. So building height, at this point, we don't really worry about that until we find out if the, well, no, because historic contours is after we're done, correct?
That's correct.
So, but well, do we need at this point to start discussing the overruns and the elements that are requested to be up on top of the guard? If it's a usable deck, then there's guardrails that probably poke out of the...
Well, that would be at the next stage of the design response conference.
Okay, but yeah. That will be...
Yeah.
That part of it we discussed,
I mean, you can,
we don't...
Just like normal, you would talk about the roof line, the height of the building, and...
if you have early feedback, throw it out there.
Yeah.
But you don't really have a much of a design to look at just
right.
Yet.
You can assume a two-story building.
Well, I have to say that was one of the... I had less issue with the massing and the placement relative to setbacks, but the current drawing, the way that penthouse is shown at good angles, the idea of it hooking up at that obtuse angle seems challenging to from the design standpoint. It seems like it would be more successful if it was more closer to the interior.
Interior, yeah.
I mean, I understand wanting to get it with your lobby, but having it, really tough to have your parapet come around this facade and then have it jump up there. And I think that combined with the piece you were talking about too,
mm-hmm.
that pokes out on 11th, they aren't doing the scheme.
Yeah. The one that I mean, on the preferred scheme, the stairwell roof at an angle up to the roof, and you see it on the, I guess it'd be the next page, I don't know what page number is there, it's the south view, kind of perspective view. There's a pretty sharp angled element that is the, it's our page 1425. You know, that angled chunk that is protecting the stairwell.
Mm-hmm.
There, right there in the low, oop, yeah. If I had my pointer.
No, there, yeah.
That thing. And, you know, if that were internal, away from the building corner. And I'm not totally certain that this building needs or wants to have rooftop decks and that kind of a thing. If it works and is allowable to get guardrails and everything else under the 25 feet, that was one area I had a little issue with, is that roof over the ascending stair.
Yeah, I would agree. I question that, the necessity of that, if it's really bringing that much to the table.
And I, for some, I don't know if I've got a different scheme three preferred. That area view looking west is different than what I have in my packet.
The way the
the green roof versus
the deck
the
is
solar
oriented.
Is, yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So that must be the current.
Yeah, there's also a bit of a change too in this portion.
Yep, up front. Than the street side. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where are we on the setback from market in terms of this discussion? Because I still have trouble with that.
Yeah, I know. We're conflicted.
Yeah.
As a board.
That's healthy. But.
yeah,
I think.
I mean, if we can talk about superior design and that, you know, really catches us, but I think this changes the character of the neighborhood in the future as it develops.
It
also, there are all these triangular lots down there that have got the same problem. It's not our responsibility to solve the problem. Those are lots that were platted, and that's what
Bring to question the zoning. We're challenging. We're overriding the zoning, which isn't really our purview.
This isn't retail.
Once we do that one time, well, it's opening up a can of worms.
Well, the little triangular lot directly south is essentially unbuildable.
Yeah,
there's nothing that can go there. Maybe a, I don't think a coffee stand legally could fit there.
There was a variance for the 1015 Market Street building, which is the vacant triangle, a number of years ago, which has since expired and gone away. So we're not, and I'm not sure what the future of that site holds, and I don't even recall which setbacks they varied.
Okay.
And that's something staff can do some more research on. We wanted to get this in front of you as soon as possible to give some direction to the applicant to proceed to the design response conference. I'd just like to say that in chapter 142, it does give the board the authority to reduce setbacks for this zone.
It's a big leap.
Well, and doesn't it? It gives us the ability if it results in superior design.
Yes, that's correct.
And it doesn't change the neighborhood.
And this is the same as last 2 weeks ago. Is 20 to 0 a minor deviation?
Yeah.
I mean, last week. I will say, though, we're talking, this is kind of not comparable because at least they came with three modulations. And so they did it right, whereas the last guy did not.
Yeah.
And there we're talking about going back into next to what basically a cul-de-sac there, and there's not even a sidewalk there. You know, this is Market Street. This is a totally different level of visibility and impactfulness to the neighborhood, in my mind.
So, Jeremy, you said the GIS from the curb face on Market to the property line is 13 feet?
No, that was on 11th.
Oh, that was 11th.
Market's tighter.
It looks bigger on the survey, but I might be. There were no scales available here, but.
I would say on Market. Well, it's similar. It's scaling out at about 13 feet.
So, I mean,
if it's
a zero setback, that's still 13 feet back from the curb face. Mm-hmm. There's an existing, looks like about a 5-foot sidewalk that's right on the curb, correct? No planting strip like is done elsewhere. So, as a board, let's say we say no to zero. You know, Dave wins that one. We say no to zero setback on Market. Is there a happy medium? I mean, can we say, well, if we're already 13 feet back, if we go another 8 or 10 feet back, do we want to let that be explored, or are we?
I guess that's...
was your initial...
Yeah, if there was, and I think maybe Scott had mentioned it, or you'd mentioned it, that there was a little more give and take with the other setbacks. You know, compliant with the other two, but and then ask for a big chunk out of the other. Say, well, that's a little more of a happy medium. Maintain the same square footage, but I think it'd make that Market, the impact right on the Market Street side a little more palatable. You know, yeah, it's pushing us towards that direction, but it's not, you know, wholesale. We went to zero right on. You know, that's only me, but that's I think kind of the direction that I was thinking of.
I think it might be more engaging also if the building did come further towards, 11th is...
Toward 11th?
Yeah, if it came further toward 11th, mm-hmm. I mean, not to rob square footage from, you know, the applicant, it might be more engaging. I mean, the building
might look better.
Mm-hmm. And if it's a neutral square footage question, you know, they still get the office they need.
I think it's just super interesting that the wide setback is given to Market Street, which is busy car street, and the narrower setbacks are given to the neighborhood.
So. Yeah, that's, you know, if it were, and I, you know, I'd say there was no zoning at all, I'd say, oh, okay, maybe zero setback looks great along there. But that's, I guess, where I have a lot of heartburn is there's a reason that this particular zone is zoned the way it is, you know. There's a reason that they have the code in place, in my mind. So if we're going to have some
You know what, it has changed so much since, because, I mean, it was all residential. And
sure. And I understand that. I guess my comment is, you know, then I guess is that our purview to change it, or is it the purview of the plant, you know, I guess the planning commission to go.
Don't you say it was all residential? I mean,
the
historic spot probably predated residential, and then I don't know how old the little business district is on the west of those are the 2-0 setback areas.
Yeah, the Clicks Market, which is now the restaurant, the old Asian Walk, that was there in the 50s, 40s, I'm thinking. You know, there are a couple little spots there that did predate residential, but it certainly is, at one point it wasn't a state highway, or has it been removed as a state highway now? I guess I would propose that we say maybe Scheme 4 sort of deals with Dave's heartburn. I'm not going to say that the applicant is granted net loss of square footage. I think that's not for us to say at this point, but I would say if there's a way to get more of a setback off of Market, perhaps explore some of the encroachment onto the 11th Avenue West 20-foot setback there, and make it a better building, mm-hmm. that may be an option worth looking at.
I mean, both directed 11th and 3rd, would reckon.
I'm assuming the one thing we're sort of ignoring, not ignoring, but it's not really for us to decide at this point, is the parking. If there's a way in this revised scheme to have subterranean parking that just kind of goes as far as it needs to and be built on top of with plazas or... if it is truly totally buried underneath. I know when the ramp comes in and plunges downward and hits that 45-degree, stop pretty quickly, it really makes parking a beast down in that basement level. And I don't know if going further going further on 11th West with the parking makes it any simpler or easier there. We've spent a fair amount of time on that departure there.
So is it safe to summarize that the board as a whole isn't comfortable with the 0-foot setback, you know, perceiving there's an intrinsic benefit in reducing the setback? Any setback reduction has to go back to the superior design, and I think it requires public notice, so I think you reserve judgment until the design response conference, because neighbors may feel differently about some of these things. But that you would, the board as a whole, entertain some reduction to the other two front yard setbacks?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would.
How this, you know, office on the street relates to the pedestrian is a tricky thing, right? But if you're allowed to go closer to the sidewalk, there's, I think, yeah, there's a requirement for that building facade to be transparent, active, you know, providing benefit.
Let's say it's a realtor's office or something that almost wants a storefront to see inside versus looking in at CAD stations and, you know.
Yeah, I don't want to see people working, but I think that there's a presence there on the street. I mean, kind of going back to my point about the older neighborhood, mm-hmm. the Isis and the Market Street, those businesses all have a presence, and they're not all retail.
No.
No.
But they're engaging when you walk by, and so I think the buildings
have a quaintness about them,
yeah.
which even if you have never gone inside them, it still...
I'm not saying make it cute.
No.
But it's got to be something.
Well, and to mm-hmm. that point, I also think it should, to some degree, at least respond to the residential context, too, and not just be a total wall. We're shunning this completely. And again, not cute. But that can't shouldn't be overlooked, as mm-hmm. we've seen in other projects where that gets put on the back burner.
Yeah. I think just given the overall scale of the building, it really lends itself to a really fine-grained level of detail that mm-hmm. that is easily achievable. And it doesn't have to slavishly copy the historic stuff. It may not even need to use brick. It may not have to match across the street, the arches, and all that kind of stuff. You know, I think... It's a small building, and it should be fairly doable for, you know, making it not seem huge.
Can I push a little bit on Susan's comment because I'm trying to get a picture of it. So say they come back and have instead of 20, it's a 10-foot setback. Is that 10-foot now best used for landscaping, or are you still picturing a pedestrian streetscape in there?
Mm-hmm. Well, I agree with that, but I have sort of the feeling that the setbacks all are yards along there. So are mm-hmm. we changing the feeling of the street? I mean, where are we going with this?
You know, I think you have to do a combination of both.
Okay.
It has
yeah.
to have, you know, with the sidewalk, the urban feel, but yeah, you have to have some, you know.
It's not a house. It's a business. So.
Yeah. It's not a converted house that now has
yeah.
office use in it. I think one of the strongest things that could happen would be to get an actual planning strip at the curb,
mm-hmm.
put a big, nice sidewalk, you know, 5 feet away so that you can have that buffer of trees and density
mm-hmm.
from the buses and everything else whizzing by and the 35-mile-an-hour traffic, and then let that happen. Is that, I mean,
yeah.
are they allowed to, I assume they're allowed to change the sidewalk, or will that be a requirement to?
Oh, we always have to talk to our friends in Public Works, but we can... shop that guidance.
Okay.
I think as an arterial, the decision on what that right-of-way looks like is case by case.
Okay.
And it can, the same thing, though, can be done on the other side to incorporate, you know, you can have, you know, a double mm-hmm. sidewalk, a sidewalk up against the building with a nice planning strip
in the
between.
Middle. Right.
There's a lot of ways to work
okay.
that. So it looks, you know, less residential landscaping and more in keeping with
mm-hmm.
a... you know, a building landscaping.
Yeah. I mean,
Tim, I found this, the envelope, really useful. It's always useful to see that. And then with the neighboring structures that are in place, a larger scale version of this when they come back with maybe what's proposed and then what the envelope would be on neighboring lots might be helpful to see how it interplays with them for me, if that's doable.
So you mean scheme one, seeing that, or are you, which one are you?
Well,
you're just looking
at like the envelope.
Okay. The building envelope version or anything like that seems to require either a really small office building or lots and lots of off-street parking.
Yeah. I'm thinking in terms of what if they come back with a proposal that we see that envelope in a perspective like this, and then maybe some of the properties along Market where I'm hung up.
Okay.
To see how the front setback as anything that's proposed would work with other properties. Okay.
Is this in SketchUp or?
Yes.
It is. Okay. Fairly simple, just to do blobs and massing blobs. I think that's a good idea, especially showing east of Market too, because there, I know there are some of the buildings that are, that have to be closer than 20 feet.
No. Really? I was looking for that specifically, and it's hard to tell when you're driving along, but there's a lot of landscaping in the...
That's true. We need the LIDAR
version. The general feeling I get is it's a wide boulevard.
Yeah.
Landscaping.
How do we... Let's see. How do we feel if on the Scheme 3... the parallel parking in the alley and just the sort of the treatment of alley. Any thoughts on that? Or
but we don't have to express our opinion. Is that right? I mean,
well,
it's determined independent of us. I guess we could express our opinion.
The quantity is determined independent of us, but where the parking is how it relates to a building and the neighbors and everything else is that's ours totally.
What was that, Tim?
Where the quantity of parking is out of our hands.
Right.
If they're going to be allowed to go 4 under or 8 under or whatever. But where the parking is in relationship to the buildings, the neighbors, you know, on an alley, it's...
But I understood from the report here that the landscape strip next to the alley... that may not be, others can determine, that the process of whether that's needed is not our determination. We just get to determine if it is to be there, what's in it. Is that right?
Yes. Well, there is a landscape buffer that's required along the alley. So then we'll need a modification for that.
Right.
Where the three stalls are. And
that's not our issue. I mean, we don't determine.
That requires approval by the adjacent property owner.
Yeah.
But if there are design guidelines that address what that facade along the alley should look like or orientation of parking and buildings, to the extent it's also tied to design guidelines, you may have overlapping authority.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Does the city, I mean, do they encourage or discourage parking using the alley? Because it's not really a two-way alley. It's a, you know, if you pull in and park on that side of the alley, I assume you're heading all the way down to what would be 4th West to exit your, you know, if it's a staff member, happens once, you know, twice a day. If it's somebody else because there's no other place to park, is that an issue using the alley for that kind of parking?
No, I don't think.
Not necessarily. It's not common, but commercial zones on alleys aren't terribly common. I think there might be some similar scenarios on the other side of Market Street where there's access on the alley above and some more perpendicular parking happening off that alley.
Okay. I did notice that the paving for those stalls were... pervious paving to meet the lot coverage ratio and a number of other things. It seems like it may get really crowded back there with dumpster enclosures, parallel parking, some landscaping. To the extent that it's almost easier for the single family side of the alley to just go willy-nilly almost however they want to do it. I mean, it's density-wise and massing, it's easier to be on the single family side than it is the commercial side for what you can put right on the alley and what you have to do. I'm just kind of bringing it up for thoughts to consider later on when we proceed further. Anything else that we, as a board, need to discuss? I think up on, when you descend off of First, coming down, it's steep enough. You may see on the top of it, but very little. It's not like.
I guess I would reiterate the fact that I have an issue with the raised portion of the building on.
At the corner right there, yeah.
The waiting for the massing that shows how great that would look or not.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay, which corner? The corner where the.
The lobby.
No,
there.
I
think
with
we
that.
All.
Yeah.
I didn't know if it was that or the stairway, the corner in the back in the alley where the stairway comes up.
That bothers me less. I don't think it impacts the view of the building too much.
So that the stuff that does poke through the roof, though, is the elevator overrun and a
HVAC.
But the HVAC doesn't have to be there. My understanding was they were clustering it, kind of hiding behind the taller parapet if that's there. But I agree. I guess I wouldn't put the big tall bookends, you know, right there. There may be a different way to deal with that corner. No, that's true. That's true. Okay, so as a board, I guess we sort of want to see another option, another conceptual design conference before we proceed to design response, obviously.
I wonder, just because we are so split, if we should, can we ask for two options?
We certainly can.
So
that's
one
a good
is
idea.
More in keeping with the current zoning code, but takes it seriously, like if you had to do it, what would that look like? And then one that is asking for some break on the setbacks and goes a little bit further in presenting why it would be better.
Mm-hmm. I'm very comfortable with that. From the applicant's point of view, are there any questions of us for what you've heard?
Well, there was a lot of great information that was talked about. Thank you for giving that. If you pull it back further from market, then the canopies kind of go away because the value there isn't to shadow the sidewalk. So I'm sensing you guys preferred pulling it back off market a little bit, lose the canopies, because the canopies aren't going to too much.
It's going to benefit.
I mean,
the pedestrian that much for that little strip.
Right. Yeah.
I was also going to clarify. I mean, the intent is to have a Class A building, so it'll be glass and precast and brick or whatever those elements are. And I think I heard to encroach more off the, you know, pull back on market, take a little bit on 11th, so it's more of a blend, which is a little bit more like Scheme 2, but pull Scheme 2 back off market a little bit.
Yeah.
It's almost like I actually appreciate the fact that you are using the shape of that you're given here, as opposed to Scheme 2, you're, you know, using blocks to go around the corner, where, you know, I like the angles on scheme, your preferred scheme. It's just maybe a little more gracious on Market Street, and you know, you're allowed to take a little bit more onto 11th to keep that shade.
Okay. If it is about 13 feet currently curb to property line, if we took it back 7, that's about a 20-foot effective buffer curb to building. Is that a design direction?
You know, unfortunately, that's us prescribing, and you need to present to us.
Right. Well, I'm trying to give them direction. So,
I would probably look to see, is there anything else that's been done anywhere up and down Market that we can kind of use as a as an initial, yeah, that seems about right or doesn't seem right.
I guess what I'm hearing from the board is that you want one kind of conventional one within the zoning code to show, making a really good effort on what we can do with that. And then when we take the additional setbacks, we want to show what makes it a superior design so you guys can say, this is what we're getting for the setbacks. Yeah. And if we can prove that, then you would be probably able to grant that if we can clearly show that it's superior design based on our second scheme. So those are the two schemes you're asking us to do.
I think so.
And we have a lot of, you know, good feedback to work with, and we'll try to come up with something. I think that's what our marching orders are. So I appreciate all your time.
Okay. I just want to reiterate that there is it's kind of awkward at the conceptual conference because we haven't invited the public to come in and see this. Mm-hmm. So when you talk about granting, that really happens at the design response conference after the public gets to weigh in on it. But this is just trying to get you some sort of shape that you can move forward to the design response conference.
So is there any way we could instead come back for a design response one? Because I think one of the things that's hard about this is I feel like a lot of the comments are because we're just doing massing, so you can't actually visualize look and feel, because we haven't gotten into like the improvements on the right of way or the look of the facade or anything else. And it feels like we have enough. If it was at our risk to come back with a preferred, we come back with two preferred schemes with a little bit more development so that we move it along. I don't know. It's just an idea.
Well, I think in the past we've seen some conceptual designs that have just little itsy bitsy vignettes of an actual piece or part of it. That is, this is what we're shooting for. This is where we're going with the kind of the fit and finish materials, not fully developed, but you've kind of identified some of it with, you know, shots around the neighborhood, what you're looking for on the sidewalk and that kind of stuff. But does that make sense?
I can appreciate what you're asking for. I think the downside is that means you're going to be out about 2 months before you get to come back and check in with these folks. Whereas if you're willing to turn around another conceptual conference, you can do that in a couple weeks, a month at the outside. So it's just it'll be a little bit more responsive than going off and designing something and then waiting a couple months to get back on the docket so we can do public notice. So I can appreciate that because you get that public comment.
You don't want to go kind of the route what Pantley did where, you know, yeah, they went, you know, gave us line drawings of everything the way the building's going to look, and only to have it turned down. So I would almost lean towards the basic.
Kind of what Jeremy just said, just the quick turnaround on on this conceptual.
It is fairly open. Potala, that was a November thing way back when, is it? Totally not even in the...
Not that I've heard of.
Okay. All right.
Will it ever get built?
I think there's some movement on the sale, so maybe.
From the receiver pushing. The 7th of November, we've got Varese coming back for a design response conference there, and that's the third time we've seen them, as I recall, so we may be not spending hours and hours on...
Do it on the 7th, maybe have a start time or something just to hedge against.
We could theoretically do that, yeah.
I bet we wouldn't need it, though. We covered a lot of bases tonight.
We wouldn't need an early start?
Yeah.
I think that's probably true. Varese gets to go first, correct, because they're on?
No, the conceptual conference usually goes first, unfortunately, for Varese. So we, you guys
only gives them a week.
That,
because they have to have notice. I mean, they have to have stuff back to you guys. Okay.
Let me throw that back to the board also. How much do you need to see in advance of that meeting?
Because we're allowed to get this stuff just shortly before, right? This isn't the like a design response conference where there's public notice and all that.
And they could do anything from walk into the meeting with the design, or we send it out a week in advance, in which case we need them to get it back to us in about a week.
I'm pretty happy having stuff on Fridays and as a
even
PDF.
Email.
Yeah, we can post it and email it also, if you're fine with that.
Yeah.
I mean, I look at the PDFs before I get the packet in the mail, just because I get the notification that it's up there.
So maybe could you guys turn something around to staff by about November 1st? November 1st, if you have something to us, I think we can
we'll
package it.
Yeah.
I like Quinn.
That looks good.
Okay.
Right. Anything else on this particular project? I didn't think so. So there's nothing to move or continue. We have no design response conference, no reports or administrative stuff that I'm aware of. Jeremy, anything that we need to?
Nope.
Any other concerns from board on anything else? Okay. I
move
will.
To adjourn.
Is there a second?
Second.
Moved and seconded, we adjourn. Those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? We are adjourned.
So, Jeremy, I didn't update my password, so.
Yeah, I haven't been out in a while either.
Oh, the password?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
587
help. Recently, okay. That they allow us to change our password.
We do get to, yes.
Mm-hmm. It used to be they wouldn't allow us to, so for security reasons, I said, well, then I'm going to be calling you every 3 months because I work for the city. And they said, no problem. I said, okay, well, I'll have you on speed dial every 3 months. So.
We get a hold of the audio?